Okay, praise the Lord. We are doing part two of a series that I started on Friday night, the 22nd. It's the Protection Prayer series. And we have four pages today. And I'm going to do a brief summary of what was done on Friday for those of you that weren't here. And I have made some changes on this. So we've given you fresh copies. And this part one is called Protection Series, God Protects Believers. Those that believe that He does protect will be protected. Amen. And so A says, do not be afraid, only believe, according to Mark 5, 35 through 43, but that's actually verse 36. And that was talking about how Jesus was teaching about faith. And how he overheard a conversation of the leader of the synagogue. One of the leaders came and he wanted to seek out Jesus because his daughter was very, very ill. And then they got word, I guess, just a assumption that she had died because someone says, "Why bother the master?" It's like too late. That's what they were saying. And good thing Jesus overheard. And then Jesus decided to go and minister to that girl. And he said, do not be afraid, only believe, to the leader of the synagogue. And the first thing he did when he got to that house, because the mourners already came to mourn the death of the little girl, she was 12 years old, he kicked out the unbelievers. He kicked out the spirit of unbelief. He kicked out discouragement, depression, hopelessness. He kicked out people who could not see into God's realm and be believing of His word, regardless of what their eyes were seeing with their circumstances. He got rid of the doubt and unbelief so they didn't look at what the devil was trying to do. But he came and he said, do not be afraid. Only believe. And there were some doomsday supposedly prophets because they'd prophesied before that God was going to send Jesus back in 1988, 88 reasons why the rapture would happen. I think we're way beyond 1988. That didn't happen. And then somebody said in 2012, the end of the world would come. People were, prophesying because some guy found a Mayan calendar and they had the last date. They thought that was going to be the end of the world. Some other guy said September 23rd, 2017 is going to be the end of the world. And there might be a planet coming, which name is Wormwood, and it's going to crash into the earth and will be incinerated on September 23rd. Then other prophets are saying, well, something special is going to happen because it's the start of Rosh Hashanah, and we are seeing that 70 years have gone by of completion since Israel became a nation. Isn't that exciting? So that part is good. Yes, I believe that something special God is going to do in this, for His people that believe on Him and in the spirit realm. And it's the 50th year of Jubilee where all debts have been canceled. But you know what? Pastor Joshua focuses on that born again, spirit-filled Christians partake in that jubilee every day. We don't have to wait 50 years anymore because we are part of the new covenant, not just the old covenant. It's been fulfilled in our Jesus. Our debts have been paid by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. We could receive all the benefits from heaven. Amen. So it doesn't matter what you hear out there, do not be afraid, only believe. So when I left Friday night, I said to, all the staff and friends, see you Sunday. I didn't believe that a catastrophe was going to happen. And because that guy did not study the Book of Revelation series from Pastor Joshua, he got it wrong. And we woke up very early Saturday morning, the 23rd, because we're early birds. And I checked the Google and the news on it, The guy early in the morning, before 6 a.m. Pacific time, had recanted. I guess he woke up and we were still here. And he said, well, no. It's not going to happen today. It's just that the 23rd is going to be the beginning of cataclysmic events. Hello, he's a little late. We already saw Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Maria, the earthquake in Mexico, the 6.1 aftershock. It's been horrible what's been going on, you know? But we believe that those that know how to pray, those that do not forsake Hosea 4:6, are going to be safe. You see, it doesn't say in the Bible that my people perish for a lack of faith. You know, I think Pastor Sarah may think I'm going to be preaching her sermon from this morning. It's very similar. I think the Holy Spirit he interweaves us oftentimes in the staff and puts in our heart what he wants everyone to hear. Amen. My people perish for a lack of what? Knowledge. So if you did not go through that Book of Revelation series, may I please encourage you. You want to know what's going to happen? Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Study your word. And so Pastor Joshua does not want to teach anything that is not in that word. And he has been led by the Spirit of God to be a general of God for the end time armies. And so we knew, because we had studied Revelation, we didn't have to fret about September 23rd, 2017, which some people thought the sixth seal would be open. And we said, wait a minute, what happened to the other stuff that hasn't happened yet? They didn't know. Do you see? So we want to keep studying and keep learning. We cannot practice when the things are happening. We have to become experts, so when they happen, we already are walking in authority and dominion and protection and over our family, and knowing that we will be safe because the Word of God is being implemented and operating in our lives. Amen. And so number one says, do not be afraid. It transliterates the Greek, and which means do not fear. Do not be scared away. You know, get the on-demand video, look at it to get all the details. A lot of people came up to me about the teaching on Friday, so I'm not going to go through everything. I'm going to skim through it to get to our main point. But those of you that didn't hear, I don't want you to be lost. I want you to catch up with us. And so many people after church they said it was so excellent. It was such a blessing for them to hear and not be afraid. And so many people know it's important to read the scriptures and the protection prayers, but many hadn't been personalizing it. And so I'm showing people how to do that. And some of the things that Pastor James and I do twice a day, and during the day, all during the day as well. So if I'm going fast through section one, it's because you need to go back and listen to the details, because it's just a summary, okay? So we're not going to be filled with fear. We're going to believe. We're going to commit to believing in our faith, commit to our faith and trust Merriam-Webster, because they still hold on to Noah Webster's definition of man of God, and they didn't take it out yet, and we're going to pray it won't. This is a really literal definition in the dictionary of what it means to believe. Only believe means to have a firm or wholehearted religious conviction or persuasion to regard the existence of God as a fact. Do you believe? Usually used within belief in the scriptures. That's in the dictionary. Believing in God. It's evangelizing people that are looking up that word. That's great. To accept something as true, genuine, or real ideals we believe in. Like some people believe in ghosts. The world believes in ghosts, but some Christians don't even believe that there's demonic warfare. Those are the people that are going to be defeated. Okay, now to have firm conviction as to the goodness, efficacy, or ability to something to believe in, like you believe in exercising. I believe in exercising, but I didn't do it. You have to be not just a hearer, you got to be a doer, and now I'm doing, and I've lost a dress size, so yes, I'm believing more in that word, and a faith action plan. If you don't put your faith to action, it's not going to work for you, right? If I keep putting the fork to my mouth and not burning up the calories that I put in my body, I'm not going to get the results. If you do not put the Word of God and eat it and read it and study it and put it inside of you, it cannot come out of you when you need it. Okay? Now, number five, if you truly believe in your heart that God has answered your prayer when you asked one time, God is not deaf, he doesn't have Alzheimer's, he doesn't have a memory problem. When you ask the one time, don't repeat it, because that's doubt and unbelief. If you have to repeat it, it means you think he didn't hear you. It means you didn't think you received the answer the first time. Remember, one time, and after that you thank God, but you should be a hearer and doer and act on it and speak or affirm it aloud, because in the spirit realm it has already been done for you. If you do not believe it's already done and it's yours, you are already in doubt and unbelief. And some people say, well, how do I know the word works for me? Well, somebody had asked me that, that's new to ABC, and she said, it's not working. I said, well, did you do your affirmations this morning? No, I didn't have time. How about yesterday? No, I was too busy. I said, if you work the word, it will work for you. The next day, she did her affirmations. Next day, pretty soon, she texted me, I've been healed. You know, we go from a 10 level, 10 being hospitalization. She was at a 10, right? And then she said, it's zero. No pain, no symptoms, no sickness. The word works when we work it. It doesn't say when it's going to work. It doesn't say when. The microwave generation wants it now. Okay? And that's a sin of impatience. So we have to see that we have to be patient and let the word work. Okay? If you are making a spaghetti sauce and you put all the tomatoes in the pot and you turn the fire on, 5 minutes later, hey, is this sauce ready? It's not even hot yet. You know what I mean? And so my mother-in-law, she used to make her own sauce. My husband used to, but he doesn't have time now, because it takes hours and hours to boil down those tomatoes, stew the tomatoes, get it where it becomes liquid to a sauce where you could use it over the spaghetti, because you don't want to be just eating big old hunking tomatoes with your spaghetti, do you? You know what I'm saying? You want that sauce to go through the whole spaghetti. And so we've got to let the word of God simmer, simmer. You got to let the word just get there and make you on fire and get you on fire for God with the passion of the fire in your heart, so that you will really be saturated in his word. Amen? Hallelujah. I know a lot of you Italians like that analogy. Okay. And so B, pray effective prayers. C, pray and affirm a scripture that God has promised you. Why? Your word is not what works. It's his word. Okay? So we tell the devil what God says, and then the devil thinks it's God saying it through us. He doesn't know the difference. You tell him where he needs to be under your feet, and you find the promise of God, and you stand on it in your faith. Okay? D, God wants to protect believers. Exodus 14, 13 through 14. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still. He didn't say faint. He didn't say sit down and go to bed and go to sleep and do nothing. Stand still. Why? Because you're about to see what God's going to do in your life. Hallelujah. And I don't want to be sitting down when I see it. I want to stand up and look and see all the things that he's doing for me. Amen. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall again know more forever. The greatest army in the world, it was prophesied they'd be defeated. And guess what? In order for that prophecy to happen, the Lord says this through Moses. The Lord will fight for you, because they didn't have swords. They were just fleeing with all their stuff. They were just normal people. And you shall hold your peace. In other words, shut up and be silent so the prophecy can come to pass, so your negative, complaining, doubt and unbelief and fearful words will not cancel the prophecy. Whoo! I mean, Moses commanded the people with the word of God, be quiet, zip it, zip it. Why? Because only his word could stand. And the word of God, when it is spoken, goes forth to accomplish that which it was sent to do. And if you don't believe that, then there's a spirit of doubt and belief you got to get out. Kick that thing out like Jesus did, right? Because when it's said, it's done. Amen? And sure enough, the entire army got killed. I mean, my husband had looked up what an atheist scientist said, and they said, really, you know, it might be the Red Sea, Reed Sea, because it's an RD, you know, the way sometimes the Hebrew doesn't have vowels. Which sea was it? And it was a time of year, you know, there's no way that that story could have happened, because at that time of year, there was only 10 inches of water. So how could you, you know, part the sea? So he was trying to disprove that the sea was not parted. And so there was a Christian student in that atheist class, and he raised his hand. He said, excuse me, professor. He said, I just want to praise God about what you just said. And here the professor's an antichrist person, you know. He's trying to tell you that the sea was not parted. And he said, well, if that's really the truth, then God killed the entire Egyptian army, the greatest army in the world, in 10 inches of water. Amen? So God, he always has the last word and probably the last laugh too. So number two, the Lord delivers you out of trouble. The Lord will not forsake you. Listen, 2 Corinthians 4, 8-9 says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Remember that when the persecution comes. Remember these words, but not forsaken. For those of that you believe in the word, stand on the word. Struck down, but not what? Destroyed. The Lord will be our refuge and protect us, according to Psalm 91. Pray Psalm 91 every day upon awakening without fail. You know, I've been mentored. My husband and I have been mentored by Pastor Joshua. And for 2 years, we got personalized mentoring. I mean, it was so amazing. I was down in the mission field for 10 years in Central America. The Holy Spirit was the one that trained me. We saw miracle signs and wonders. We came up here. We were doing a healing ministry that God was moving incredibly in. We wanted to have more. We wanted to have more. And so the Lord said, go to your uncle's church. So basically, after, you know, a lot of people in our church were coming to ABC, 22 of our people in one way, shape, or form were coming to ABC. Only 6 of them have stayed. But that's a 27% average. That's not bad. They did not stay the course. And many of them are not victorious in their life. And those that were here were fighting the good fight of faith, but they were doing what they could, the best they can. They're still doing it. The ones that are still here, and we applaud them because they have the persistency. They have the persistency of what God wants them to do. And I was taught early on to always pray Psalm 91. When we came to ABC, Pastor Joshua reiterated that, so we really started doing it more fervently, more diligently. Gave a story about his friend Bill, who God told him to prophesy to him as one of the three people that different prophecies were given. And that word to that man, Bill, was pray Psalm 91 every day. Lo and behold, he was doing some clearing of a groundwork they were going to build there, and a crane hit a electrical wire, which came down, and it electrocuted him and his buddy like a lightning bolt, and they died. They just fell down and died. Do you know that that man, he had memorized Psalm 91 from his heart? You know, I added C here. It could save your life or loved one's life one day, because it did save Bill's life. And all of a sudden, he started moving. He started moving, and then he was able to say, you know, in the name of Jesus, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I mean, I just assume he just started from the top. But he said that he started quoting Psalm 91. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Then he would drop down, lifeless again. Then he started moving again, came up. I say of you, Lord, you're my refuge and fortress. In you I trust. Surely you deliver me from the snare of the fowler and the perilous pestilence. You cover me with your feathers and your wings. I take refuge. Your truth is my shield and buckler. I will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the perilous pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste in noonday. And I'm imagining this is what was going on as he was struggling. Every time he would awaken and come back, you know, out of death's door, he was quoting the scripture. He was quoting the scripture. He was speaking it over himself. It was activated for him ahead of time and covered him because he had probably prayed it that morning before he left his house. He was still quoting it and struggling to come back to full life. And then he made himself crawl over. He was electrocuted. Thousands of volts went through him. Steam was coming out of his body, and his friend was dead. He barely could touch his friend, laid hands on his friend, and said, "Be healed in the name of Jesus," passed out again. By time that the paramedics could get there, because they were so far out in the boondocks, it was a long time. I Googled this when I heard about this in healing school, and it was so dark. It was like a black and white video. I can't find it anymore. And then they had picked him up, and there were steam still coming out of his body, and his friend started to move. His friend started to move, wasn't dead anymore. And they started to revive him and do CPR and whatever they needed to do and on that guy. But they got a blanket around him, and they put him on the back of the bumper of the fire truck, or I forget what it was, ambulance, whatever it was. And he had his foot up, and the electricity electrocuted him all the way from the top of his head and came out through the soles of his feet with a big hole in the bottom of his shoe. And steam was still coming out the shoe. Does that convince you to concentrate and pray more about Psalm 91? Hallelujah. And so I remember one time I was evangelizing, and we went to another country, and we went to this beautiful home. It was like a 10,000 square foot home, but the upstairs didn't quite have windows in it yet. But, you know, in the bathroom, there was a window, a hole, and they didn't put the paint in yet. And, you know, we could still stay there and everything, you know, while they were under construction. But they were at a phase where they at least had doors downstairs. Anyway, so I went to take a shower, and I'm in the shower, and I hear in my thoughts, "Get out of the shower now." I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll just wash the shampoo off of my hair first, because I don't want it to get in my eyes." He said, "Get out of the shower now." And so I started wiping the shampoo up on my forehead so it wouldn't go down on my eyes. And I said, "Okay, just a minute." He said, "Get out of the shower now." Now, after the third time, you want to make sure that you really do it. I jump out the shower. Instantaneously, a lightning bolt came from the open window and hit the shower head and the water where I was standing, because there was a storm outside. Now, what if I had shampooed my, you know, decided to rinse my hair of shampoo? Then it might have looked like Einstein when I was done. Frazzled and burnt, you know, and I didn't want to be a crispy critter. Protection also comes through hearing the voice of God. It also comes through making sure that you get so close and abide and dwell with God so much that you know, that you know, that you know his voice. If your mother, those of you that knew your mother, some of you don't have a mother right now, I may be in heaven, but called you, would you say, "Who is this?" She might disown you and disinherit you at that point. "What do you mean, who is this? It's your mother!" Right? Because it's someone's voice you heard every day, familiar, abiding together in the same dwelling place. You know that voice. You know that person. Your spouse, those of you that are married, you know that person. You never have to say, "Who is this?" Or they might file a divorce. "You don't know me that well. You don't even know my voice." That means that we have to get closer to God so we can recognize his voice and discern. Ask for discerning of spirits to operate in your life, to discern that it's true voice of the good shepherd and other voices you will not listen to. Okay? So let's pray this personalized prayer that God had put on my heart. And Pastor Joshua really, you know, wants us to do this on a regular basis and learn it, memorize it. It will save your life one day and intercede over your loved ones as well. And so this is the way that I do it. You don't have to do it this way, but it is an example for how to personalize all the scriptures. Because if you say something, you know, I remember one guy I was ministering to for 40 years. He had parts put in his ear from World War II because a bomb went by his head, blew up, and then it, you know, he was able to get down into a ditch, but it affected the ear on that side. They had to put parts in there, and he kept saying, I believe God will heal me. I believe God will heal me. I believe that I will be healed. And so I said, if you keep saying that, you'll never be healed. He goes, but I believe in the word of God. I said, you're not saying what the word of God says. Will be is a future. It'll never happen for you because you're always saying it's going to happen in the future. Jesus paid the price on the cross. It was done, a done deal in the past. So you have to receive for yourself what was already done as if you have already been healed. You have to know that it was done and that is your healing. It says, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I have been healed. I was healed. It was already done. But if you say, I will in the future, he's like, one day I'll be healed. He kept saying, one day I'll be healed. That one day's not ever going to come. So when I ministered to him, I said, you need to change. You have to repent for what you just said. Cancel, make null and void. Put it under the blood of Jesus. Erase it. Now repeat with me. My ear has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. He couldn't hear out of that ear. What happened was, now that surgery was paid for by the army because he had to go to the army hospital. And years later, it wore out the parts, and he couldn't afford to get a new surgery with new parts. So he had a hearing aid, but he still really couldn't hear out the hearing aid. So I said, take the hearing aid out. And the Lord of God, you know, the Lord just showed me to be bold to get his healing. And I said, take the hearing aid out. Now I want you to repeat these affirmations. My ear has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My ear has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And the rest of us were in a prayer of agreement. We would say the guy's name has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And we just affirmed it. We did it like 20 times. So then I said, close your eyes. I backed up. I went behind him so he couldn't see me. And I said, before I left him, I said, I'm going to whisper a word and I need you to repeat it because you have been healed. And so I said, close your eyes. I went behind him and I whispered, Jesus. He said, Jesus, I've been healed by the stripes in 40 years. 40 years. He's been saying, one day I'm going to be healed. Do you see? Don't be afraid. Only believe in the word because it works for you if you work the word. But if you do it right, you have to pray effective prayers. God's word the way it is. Pray it the way he shows us. Amen? So let's repeat this for ourselves together. And we're going to, I pray this for our family, our friends, our loved ones, our church, our pastor, our leaders, every day. Every day we do this. Okay, so let's pray this together. But we're going to do it as a we, as a corporate body. If you're single and live alone, you're going to be praying it with us, with the body of Christ. Amen? But if you're by yourself, you could say I, in, you know, if you want to do that in a certain circumstance. But if you want to pray for your church and other people, then you just name who you're going to pray for and say, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying for these people, and just say we, okay? So let's pray it together. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray this prayer for myself and for my family, friends, loved ones, our church, pastors, and leaders that daily we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you we trust. Surely you deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings we take refuge. Your truth is our shield and buckler. We are not afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look, only a spectator shall we be ourselves, inacceptable in the secret place of the Most High, and see the reward or punishment of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord, who is our refuge, even the Most High, our dwelling place, no evil shall befall us, nor shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you have given your angels charge over us, to keep us, to accompany, to defend, preserve us in all of our ways, and in obedience and service to protect. In their hands they bear us up, lest to prevent that we dash our foot against a stone or stumble. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, and the young lion and serpent we trample underfoot. We have set our love upon you, Lord. Therefore, you, God, deliver us. You set us on high, that you will put us up too high, that we cannot be captured by the enemy. Because we know your name, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have a personal knowledge of your mercy, love, and kindness. We trust and rely on you, knowing you will never forsake us. We call upon you, Heavenly Father, and you answer us. You, Holy Spirit, are always with us in trouble. You, Lord Jesus, deliver us and honor and promote us with long life. God, you, God, satisfy us and show us your salvation. The faith level increased as you were speaking to God and affirming his word. And do that with all the scriptures, those of you that may not have been doing that. And many people have actually said to me that that helped them learn how to do it. Amen. So those of you that weren't here, I wanted to do that with you and not skip that, jump that part, okay? So it doesn't matter what you hear out there, you are going to be led by the Spirit of God, that God will help you and warn you and speak to you and protect you, okay, and your family. Now, let's go to part two, ABC end time prayers. I have compiled a bunch of prayers that I learned from Pastor Joshua, and I put them into a form, a version that would be useful for you, and you can add to it, you can expand it, make it your own, but this is an example or a model of what we have learned from him, and I think it's very important in these days to be ready, all right? So we're always going to be under God's covering. So let's go to letter E, page 3. Believe in faith that God heard your prayers when you prayed. Number one, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. We are reviewing Mark 11:24. We're going to keep hearing it and studying it until we actually get it working right. Amen? Okay. And so it's when you prayed, you have to believe it, not wait to see if it happens. Okay. And number two, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently. Diligently means persistent. Number three, you must be diligent in prayer as a persistent effort. There is no quick fix. We got to just do it. If you want it to work, let it simmer, right? Simmer, and you water the seed with the word of God. With the word of God, you water it, you water it, you water it, water it, and then you bear much fruit. Doesn't say when. Be persistent. Don't give up. Amen. F. Operate in faith, power, and love, not in doubt, unbelief, or fear. Again, we're going to go through Mark 11:22-25, but let's look at the Amplified Classic Version. Have faith in God constantly, not when you think things are going good. All right? Don't run to him only when you're in trouble. Truly, I tell you, whoever says to this mountain or problems or challenges, be lifted up and thrown into the sea and does not doubt. So you kick out the spirit of doubt. If you don't kick out that spirit of doubt, your faith is going to be challenged to work at all in his heart, but believes, see, faith is believing that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe, which also means trust and be confident, so you have to have confident faith, that it is granted to you and you will get it. And whenever you stand praying, it never says when you're sitting and praying. Interesting. Here again, stand and be still, stand and be quiet. Why? We're not going to say the negative things, but we're going to stand in faith. It is an attitude that the devil's under your feet. Okay? A warrior that's victorious still standing at the end, right? So stand praying. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let her and let it drop. Let it drop. What does that mean? Forget about it. Don't dwell on it. Leave it and let it go. Release it in order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop. Because if God didn't let it go, we would still be guilty of sin and not get eternal life. But what he did for us, we have to do for others. He forgave us. We got to forgive them. We can't hold grudges or bitterness. 2, and he did not do many works of power there because of what? Their unbelief, their lack of faith in divine mission of Jesus. That's Matthew 15:38. 3, God did not give us a spirit of what? Fear. But we're going to read the Amplified Classic, which also means timidity, of cowardice, of craven, and cringing, and fawning fear. We do not fall back. Soldiers do not fall back. They advance forward in the face of the enemy. Okay? And so what does he say here? But he has given us a spirit of what? Power and love and of a sound mind. Calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. I think we need to affirm it in the Amplified Classic. That's what we do. Because I need that discipline and self-control. And so I'm going to grow in that. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Well, I'm going to speak this over myself constantly. We've been doing this for years, doing the Amplified version, affirming this for years. It's helped me so much. See, I lost a dress. I see my, it's just working. The affirmations are working. Praise the Lord. 4, avoid actions which contradict your faith action plan. 5, work the word. It will work for you. G, hear, speak, and do God's word in a spiritual warfare and for your protection. So 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 Amplified Classic says, for though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical, weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. We have to come against what's in our attacking our minds. Okay? So that's where the battle starts, and then we wage the war through the word of God by pulling down those strongholds. Okay? But you have to have the word that's in you in order to do that, to recognize what are the thoughts that you're thinking, what are really the thoughts that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. What are the thoughts that it's the devil trying to tell you it's a good thing, but it may not be a God thing, and he's trying to pretend it's good? You know? Sometimes we do some things that we think are good and don't work out. We see it was the devil setting us up. So we need to hear the voice of God better. That means we're not abiding enough with him. We're not dwelling enough with him to get so familiar with him that we know him without a shadow of a doubt. Okay? 2, pray Psalm 23 every day to be under your heavenly good shepherd's protective covering. 3, pray the daily protection prayer every day. That's what I call it. It's this prayer that I've developed and compiled through what I've learned from Pastor Joshua. And this prayer is a personalized, expanded version of a compilation of ABC prayers, which includes some of the advanced affirmations from the daily prayers for serious believers taught at ABC Friday, August 22nd, 2014. If you do not have that outline, You need to go back on demand and listen to Pastor Joshua. You need to use that outline on a regular basis because we are in serious times, people. And so we really have to step up our game and use that on a regular basis. But I've pulled it in the protection prayer because it's really a shorter prayer than that outline, which you need to go through. And some people says it takes them hours to do. That's fine, because it'll save your life. And so I was led to, Pastor Josh already gave this testimony, but he may not know the other part of it. There are some people in our congregation, and they have been receiving mentorship from Pastor Joshua, and then I'm continuing the mentorship and with them. And the Lord led me to give them a version of my compilation of daily protection prayers. And I said, God says you have to pray this every day. And it reminded me of when Pastor Joshua said he had, you know, given that word to his friend Bill. It came to me after I hung up the phone with them. Well, they did it. And so so that was on a Wednesday or Thursday. And then the next Sunday, the husband came up to me and said, Pastor Karen, how long is this assignment for? I mean, how many weeks or months do I have to do this? I said, what do you mean? The daily, you know, protection prayer. It takes us so like an hour or two to just do that one prayer, and it takes us a long time. And you know, I don't, you know, he was like saying, when's our assignment over? He just wanted to be done with. Remember, there's no quick fix. So I looked at him and I said, forever. He goes, oh. Some of you may know who I'm talking about. Anyway, he's such a sweetheart. I love him. And he goes, okay. And then I got a report the next week. It was going faster. They were learning to do it. And so it became easier and easier as they did it. It didn't take them as long. You know, they had a bind up, you know, a lack of focus or attention, you know, wandering, or, you know, the phone ringing or talking to somebody or whatever. By the time they got through it, I said, you've got to concentrate, turn your phones off, whatever. Just don't be interrupted. You know, so you need to do this first thing before you get out of bed. At least say, in the name of Jesus, I activate or appropriate Psalms 91 and 23 for me before you put your foot on the floor. Because one lady told me, she does it right when she's driving out of her garage to get on the road. You start praying Psalm 91. But then one day she fell down her stairs before she got into her car. Hello? The devil can attack you right when you get up. Is that not true? Okay. So before you do anything else, this is what Pastor Joshua taught us. When you open your eyes, activate or appropriate Psalm 91 and 23 in the name of Jesus, then you could read the prayer after, but at least activate it. Do the shorter version before you go shower or brush your teeth or whatever. You know what I mean? Okay. So, make a long story short, it was about a week later or so, we get this testimony. Praise God that this morning there were, I may not get all the details right, but from what I heard was there was a commotion outside of their house. They found out that someone had put a bomb in their neighbor's driveway that shares the property with them, but somehow it didn't explode. Somehow it didn't explode. Why? They did their homework. No matter how long it took them. It's not a quick fix, but they did it. They said those protection prayers and it worked for them. What we learn here at ABC works. People do it. It will save your life or someone that you know's life when you intercede. That bomb should have exploded. They don't know how come it did not. They were able to dismantle it, and the neighborhood then became safe. They saved their neighborhood and their neighbors. They don't even know if they were saved, but I'll tell you why. Because God showed us through Pastor Joshua to have a radius of protection. Okay, so let's pray this prayer together. You can expand it. You can add to it, whatever you want. Make it your own. But let's pray this prayer together because it does work. It has saved my husband and I. I remember one day, my husband, I saw on the news, he leaves very early in the morning, and the news came on that the freeway had some very bad accidents. I think somebody died, and multiple car backup, and that nobody was getting through for miles and miles. And so I called my husband. I said, honey, where are you? And he had his Bluetooth on, and he sometimes keeps that on when he gets to the office. He says, I just got to the office. And so I said, how did you get there? He goes, I drove. I was meaning the freeway's blocked. How did you get around the blocked stuff for miles? You know, it sometimes takes him about an hour to get to work, and getting home, it takes 2.5 to 4 hours because of traffic. So he prefers going early or in the morning. He changed his schedule just to be committed to ABC here, what we want to be a part of and on staff. And so we get up about 3:30 in the morning now. And so if you see my eyes kind of closing down, I look a little more Chinesey. That's what my husband says. My eyes are a little more squinty. It's because it's probably past my bedtime. But anyway, he says, well, you know, the Lord said, get off the freeway now. And he goes, that's weird, but he did it. Get back on the freeway here. He goes, that's weird, I did it. Get off the freeway again here. Okay. And it was like that the whole time, on and off the freeway, on and off the freeway. And he says, why? I said, because nobody's getting through anywhere. It's a miracle you got to work. And he said, you know what? And he said, and then another time he said, you know what? Because we pray Psalm 91, you know, we appropriate it before we get out of bed, and then we pray it together. And so he said, all of a sudden, my foot was braking on the freeway. All of a sudden, my foot just hit the brakes, and he thought that was going to be dangerous, you know? And then right when he hit the brakes, well, he didn't do it. It was somebody, you know, somehow his foot got on the brakes, and his car slowed down, and a car came about 90 miles an hour and was going to clip him and do a lane change. But because he braked, he didn't get in a car crash head on with some ding-dong. Do you see? Because he already is led by the Spirit of God. Psalm 91 protected him. The angels of God must have made his foot go from the gas to the brake. You see? The angels of God. And he said, I mean, it was like he could see inside the guy's car. And he's thinking, thank you, Jesus. You protected me, you know? See? It works. It works. Okay, so I could tell you so many more stories, and so many of you can tell me stories. I love to hear how God has protected you too, right? So another challenge, don't get depressed about it. Get excited. Get excited because it's another opportunity to see a praise report happen in your life. Amen? Okay, so let's read this together. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray this prayer for myself and for my family, friends, loved ones, our church, pastor, and leaders, that daily, in the name of Jesus, Psalm 91 and 23 are activated on our behalf everywhere we go. In the name of Jesus, we command that there will always be a 150-mile radius of protection as the angels of God surround us, above us, below us, and 360 degrees around us. In addition, every mode of transportation we use is protected. No harm, evil, nor accident will befall us. Furthermore, our home, business, family, church, pastor, and leaders are protected while wherever we go. And we are always in the right place at the right time, never in the wrong place at the wrong time, because we are led by the Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus, I bind up every demon, devil, and evil spirit automatically in anyone that may be in or around any property where we will be today. We're doing we. In the name of Jesus, the angels of God will keep away from us, our home, family, work, business, church, and anywhere we will be, all ungodly people and beings, which include criminals, thieves, strife makers, witches, hackers, cyber thieves, and anyone or computer who intends to do evil or malevolence to us or our possessions. In the name of Jesus, our body, finances, accounts, identity, belongings, which include computers, mobile phones, and electronic equipment, are always safeguarded by the angels of God and with a strong godly firewall. In the name of Jesus, I pray divine immunity over us, which means that any sickness, disease, virus, parasite, bacteria, every microorganism, mold, and fungus potentially harmful to us dies before it comes into contact with our body, clothes, vehicles, residence, and possessions wherever we go. In the name of Jesus, every radiation, chemical, drug, poison, allergen, and explosion potentially harmful to us is neutralized before it comes into contact with our body, clothes, vehicle, residence, possessions, and wherever we go. In the name of Jesus, according to Exodus 23, 25, and 26, God blesses everything we eat, drink, ingest, use topically, and the reservoirs where the water comes from that we use. Supplements and medication are blessed by God and do us good with no negative effects. In the name of Jesus, no evil of the kingdoms of man, animals, nature, nor darkness can harm us. In the name of Jesus, nothing of earth, under the earth, wind, fire, water, nor the heavenlies can harm me, or we should say us, I missed one of those, which includes storms, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, cataclysmic events, terrorism, cyber attacks, bio warfare, nuclear bombs, nor any other disasters or calamities. Whoo! Praise you, Jesus! Hallelujah! 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 Your faith level has increased just praying that. You heard the word, you received the word, it got engrafted into your heart. Now there's no fear, and you just only believe in his word that protects you as believers. And you know, believers are the ones that believe in the word of God. But ABCers are disciples of God. Amen? And I'm going to read the Amplified version of John 15:7, that if you remain or abide in me, abide or dwell in me. Get it? How God always interconnects those words. And my words remain in you. That is, if we are vitally united and my or God's message lives in your heart, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. It doesn't say it might be, or, you know, it says it will be, okay? And my Father, verse 8, is glorified and honored by this. Why? He's honored when you remain in him. He's honored when you abide and dwell and get closer to him and stay close, okay? He's honored by that. And when you do that, you bear much fruit and prove yourselves to be my true disciples. ABCers are not just believers. We want to be disciples. Those are the ones who are set free. Those are the ones that see God's word work in our lives. Those are the ones that we are honored and bear much fruit. And God is well pleased with you, disciples of God. And he loves you, and continue to draw closer to him and abide in him and dwell in him. And God's protection and his covering is over you and your loved ones, and you are taking authority and dominion, and God will use us to help protect others. In Jesus' name, amen.